Hey guys, it's RJ
and Angie,
and this is the Rich by Intention podcast. Our guest today is Shanice Anderson. Shanice is a managing attorney at Mark Set Go Law, an intellectual property and business law firm dedicated to bridging the opportunity gaps and reducing the disparities for minority-owned businesses by providing business resources, strategic business guidance, and legal support to build sustainable equity and create growth opportunities. In this episode, we discuss the steps you should take when starting a business, the importance of trademarking a business, and tips for couples who own a business together. As always, thank you for tuning in to this episode, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Rich by Intention for money tips and motivation.
Shanice, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Yeah. You know, we're so excited to have you.
Yay, me too. Excited to be here.
For those who may not know you, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Shanice Anderson. I am an attorney located in Massachusetts, originally from New York, came here to Massachusetts for law school. I currently am the owner, managing partner of Mark Set Go Law PC. We're an intellectual and business law firm. I'm also the co-owner of Anderson Realty Brokerage with my husband and have a three-year-old, been married for 8 years, and I love to ski.
Wow. I didn't know you love to ski. That's really cool.
I love skiing. I can't wait to start snowing again.
Yeah, I do like the bunny hop or something like that.
But the bunny hill. Yeah.
And I just do tubing. I can't ski. I can't, you know, snowboard. I just go down.
If you can skate, like if you can rollerblade or skate, you can ski. It's same maneuver. You're just on ice, on snow.
Wow.
Well, what about you gotta give it a try. The falling part is
real. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fun though, like, cause you're falling, like, you're not falling on concrete. You're falling on like snow. So it doesn't hurt as bad, but getting up is difficult. But gotta get you guys out skiing one day.
Let's put it on the bucket list.
Put it on the bucket list. I know, we do need to go. Let's do a family trip.
Yes, that would be fun. Yeah, perfect. But I wanted to talk about, you know, you started your business, but before you worked for someone else. So can you talk about like the transition of being like a W-2 employee to actually having the courage to start your own business?
Yeah, so straight out of law school, I started working for a firm in Boston it was a very big, like different variety of law practices. And while I was in law school, I clerked for them and then they hired me upon graduation. I worked for them for almost 5 years, like 4 to 5 years. While I was working for them though, I realized that I could also be with my law license, I could also be a real estate broker. And so I opened up while I was still working for them, opened up this real estate brokerage with my husband. They somehow found out. I think I may have put it on my LinkedIn or something like that. They were not happy about it. They weren't happy about me being a W-2 worker for them. And then also doing this kind of real estate thing on the side, because they're like, well, you're not going to give us your full attention. Your attention is going to be divided. You're going to be doing work for me on my hour, during hours that you're working for us. And it totally wasn't even like that. Honestly, we just did it. We started this brokerage because we wanted an additional stream of income. And it's like, why not? We have family close by. I can like help them out. I didn't really even look at it as like a full-time thing. It was just something I was going to do on my weekends because it was prior to having my son. So that was kind of the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. And then when I realized how many setbacks and how many like hindrances were in my way because of me wanting to create additional streams of income as an attorney, I was like, this life is not for me. And then it was really the really big jump that kind of made me leave that world was after I had my son. There were just too many restrictions that were being placed on me. Like you had to come in at a certain time, you had to leave at a certain time, especially being, I understand that for 9 to 5, right? Clock in, clock out. But it was more like, we need you to be here until 7 o'clock, because not even to do work, but just to show face, just to say you're here. So like I had to stay back just so the partners could see that I was actually in the office, even though I was doing absolutely nothing after 5 o'clock. You don't pay me after 5 o'clock. First of all, you didn't pay me enough money to begin with, but to be here after 5 o'clock, to be away from my son, to have to return from maternity leave after only 3 months, I was just like, I want to expand my family beyond just my son at this point. So I had to look at the long-term goals. Like, what is my ultimate goal? Like, I want to have, you know, more children. I want to be able to travel more freely. Although, you know, there's obviously that balance. I'm not going to just be up and everywhere. You know, you guys talk about money all the time and, you know, being smart about it. But I had just decided that, look, I can do what I'm doing for them and do it and make all the money myself. Like, I, rather than them making the money and then giving me this little portion of it. And then I could also do other things that I'm really passionate about, like real estate and real estate investing and real estate, you know, helping people find homes and having a family. And at that point in 2020, I decided that that's what I was going to do. And that's what I did.
Wow. No, I mean, I think as women, you know, we always get hit with that, like, that those choices, right? Like, yeah. Do you choose your career? Do you just show face? Do you stay late, you know, or do you like focus on, you know, your family, like your child? Like, that's kind of the same, you know, line of thinking that I, or questioning that I had to do for myself too. So the fact that you had the courage to even, you know, take that leap is amazing.
Yeah,
you
know? It's not an easy decision. And for anyone who's contemplating whether they should do it or not, I mean, there are obviously a lot of factors you have to consider, benefits, and like being an entrepreneur is not consistent. You're not going to wake up every Friday and possibly like be guaranteed money. Like, you have to hustle for your clients. But after a while, after you have the right systems in place, and if you're in the right industry, I think, you know, with the right, you know, work that you're putting in, the benefits will reap itself.
No, that's great. That's great. So, you know, so you started your own business, you're a trademark lawyer. Can you like talk to us about that just from the very beginning? Like, what exactly is a trademark? Why is it important? You know, I know a lot of Black business owners, especially, you know, we're not always aware of the importance of trademarking. And, you know, you use your platform to teach others about the importance of, you know, making sure that you own and, you know, you own your business and all of your intellectual property. So can you just talk a little bit about that for our listeners?
Yeah, I like to give analogies and examples, but if we want to break down trademark in the most simplest terms, a trademark is essentially your business's footprint in the marketplace, right? How are you recognized? And so if we use an example, how do we if we just say the word McDonald's, how do we recognize McDonald's? We recognize McDonald's by three things that identify their brand. One, we recognize them by their name. You hear the word McDonald's, you automatically think of the food, you know, the food, the French fries, the burgers. You see an M on the highway, you automatically associate that M logo with McDonald's. And then if you hear "I'm loving it," you're like, oh, that's a McDonald's commercial. So all three of those things identify McDonald's. They've made their footprint through their name, McDonald's, through their logo, the M logo, and through their slogan. And so when you think about trademarking, what can I trademark? I can trademark my footprint in the marketplace. Anything that identifies me, anything that a consumer sees and they recognize it as my brand. So for example, as a lawyer, as a law firm, you know, the name of my law firm is Mark Set Go. So I've trademarked that so that one, consumers hear that name and they automatically associate that with a law firm. Or for example, the name that I use on Instagram, The Real Lawyer, right? When they hear The Real Lawyer, who are they recognizing that to be? Shanice Anderson. Again, it identifies me in the marketplace. And then another example is if you have a slogan or if you have a logo, and the most important reason why you want to trademark these footprints is because to prevent other people from being able to use it, right? McDonald's trademarked their name and their logo and their slogan because they didn't want Burger King to come and use their slogan, "I'm loving it." So Burger King then created their own footprint by saying, what's Burger King's?
Flame broiled. I don't know.
No, they have Burger a slogan, King. Burger King.
Guess it's not that
your
good.
Way. Have it your way. Have it your way. So yes, McDonald's is "I'm loving it," and Burger, you know, they're not as famous as McDonald's. Like growing up, I felt like there were a lot of more Burger Kings, but they're kind of falling off. But anyway, that's the point. So yeah,
I feel like Chick-fil-A is the thing now.
Chick-fil-A, right? So like, we have one down the street, and so you see their slogan, their logo on the highway, and you're like, oh, let's get some Chick-fil-A. So those are things that, you know, identify you, and you're just preventing your competitors from being able to steal that from you and claim it as their own. And especially now with social media, I mean, fake pages are being created, like literally like impersonating other like podcasters, business, financial, whatever, influencers. And it's just getting crazy. And so like people don't really know who is who. So kind of having that trademark will give you federal rights that if someone starts infringing on your footprint, infringing on your trademark, you have so many remedies. You have cease and desist remedy. You have the ability to even file a lawsuit. And it's simpler than people think, like, oh my God, I don't want to really file a lawsuit. It's really just a matter of filling out a form to the federal government saying this person is infringing. I was using it first, his copy of my trademark certificate, and going through the procedure. And you can get awarded, if it was intentional, you can get awarded up to 3 times the amount of damages for that infringement. So it's powerful. And every major company, every major brand that exists, they have a trademark. It goes without saying. And I think that that's the hesitation among the Black community, is that they're like, well, I'm not Microsoft, or I'm not Apple. And it's just like, well, do you aspire to be? Do you want to, you know, get there one day? And even if you don't, even if you want to stay a small business forever, you don't want another small business in another state to copy you. So I know that was a long answer.
Yeah.
But. No, I think that's very important, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you go on any of these social medias, Instagram, TikTok, like, fake accounts are everywhere. And
not only that, they're scamming people. They're using your name and likeness, money,
right?
To, mm-hmm. you know, get money out of people, yes. out of yeah. your audience, out of your community. So yeah, it's really horrible. Important. So like, at what point, you know, to your point earlier about a lot of small business owners don't think like, well, yeah, I'm not a Chick-fil-A. I'm not a McDonald's. Like, those yeah. are, you know, big brands. But mm-hmm. at what point should a business owner start looking into trademarking their name and likeness?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, to be frank, like, I think my answer has changed over the years. Initially, I would have said almost immediate, like right before you launch, I would have recommended to do so. But what I've been noticing is that a lot of, especially among the Black community, is that we start off, but then we fall off. And so I think that some people have treated, initially they go in with good intentions, right? Like, I'm going to make this a business, but I think they didn't really understand what that entailed. And I think they were treating it more like a hobby. So if you think that what you're doing is just a hobby, like, you don't intend on monetizing off of it, you don't intend on taking it, like, marketing it or scaling it, you know, beyond just what you're doing right now, if you're just going to treat it as a hobby, then maybe it's not worth investing, because maybe you're like, well, I don't care if someone else takes my brand, right? But if you are concerned, if you legitimately do not want anyone else in your industry, if I don't want another attorney to call themselves the real lawyer, or if I don't want another law firm to label themselves as Marks That Go, that's when you need to trademark your name. And I would advise doing it as soon as possible. So not even just waiting until you have 100 clients. It's not really about a financial level that you get to, or a consumer level that you get to, or, you know, a social media amount of followers. It's really about, how serious are you about your brand, and do you want anyone else to copy you? Because if you don't want anyone else to steal from you, then you need to trademark it. That's the only way to protect it.
Got it. No, that's great advice. Because, you know, a lot of times you have all these hobbies, you know, for a week, you're like, I'm going to go all in. And then a month later, you're like, maybe not.
Right? Wasn't for me. Right. Right. Yeah, I'll stick to the 9 to 5. And that's okay. Right. That's okay. Like, you don't know until you try, but you got to really know if this is something you want to keep doing.
And trademarking, there's an investment with it, right? Like, it's not, you know, a cheap endeavor to trademark your name. So can you talk a little bit about that, and how people, you know, who do want to trademark, how they can afford it, right? Like, you know, we're small business owners, but, you know, you do want to own the rights to your name. So what advice do you give to people who do want to go down that path, but it's financially challenging or feasible, right? Not feasible.
So I don't recommend LegalZoom starting off, right? If you can find an attorney who does offer possibly payment plans, right? An attorney who can work with you. That's one option. Another option is to find an attorney who's offering a DIY course. There are a lot of attorneys that you don't necessarily hire them to do so, but they've created this course that's at a discounted rate than hiring them, where the course kind of walks you through how to file your own trademark application. And that's really for people who have the time, right? Because some entrepreneurs is like, I don't got time for that. Like, I don't have time. I'm working a full-time job. I don't have time to go and learn this and go through this course. Because with an attorney, you're just handing it off and letting them do the job. So one is finding an attorney that offers payment plans. Two, maybe a DIY course. And then three, understanding, doing your research up front. like reaching out to attorneys and getting different pricing, comparing the pricing and the quality too, because you want to check out the attorney. Like, do they know what they're doing? Like, maybe ask them their statistics. What is your success rate? How many clients, how many trademarks have you filed? Do you offer any other services besides trademarking? Because you don't want to have attorney one for trademarking, another one for contracts, another one for business formation. You may just want to have one attorney. So kind of seeing if they're doing other areas for your business. And then once you kind of shop around, now you know that budget that you need to start having in place, right? So if you know an attorney is going to cost anywhere between $1,500 and $2,000, now you need to say, okay, for every sale I make, I'm setting aside $100 until I reach that goal. Because maybe you don't want to be on a payment plan. Maybe you're like, I just want to pay it out outright. So kind of just, as you guys know with finances, right? You know, setting a budget and working towards that budget, working towards affording an attorney, because you're going to get quality work when you hire an attorney as opposed to doing it yourself and then messing it up and then having to pay more money in the end.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely a great breakdown, right? If you have the time to do it yourself, if you don't, right. You know, just shop around, much like, right. You know, you go to any store and right. Figure out which one is giving value, but also right. At a lower price.
Hey, RBI family, we had to stop the podcast to tell you about an amazing upcoming event. Join MarketWatch September 21st through the 22nd in New York City for their inaugural Best New Ideas in Money Festival. This is a 2-day event that will feature dozens of interactive discussions and advice from investing legends, entrepreneurs, and personal finance experts and creators. This is a free event, and to learn more, you can redeem your free ticket by visiting their website at moneyfestival.marketwatch.com with code RICH. That's moneyfestival.marketwatch.com with code RICH. Now back to the episode.
You mentioned a business formation, right? And I'm just thinking of like our listeners, you know, it's the great resignation. A lot of people are starting jobs, new jobs, or they're starting their own business. Right. What are the correct steps or recommended steps someone should take when they're starting a business? Should they, you know, get an LLC first? Should they, you know, research the market? Should they hire a CPA? Like, what steps should they take?
All of the above. So LLC is a really great business entity for new entrepreneurs. It's the most common business entity for small business owners. However, it's not a one size fit all. It doesn't work for everyone, right? And so on Instagram, on social media, you'll see, get an LLC. But maybe your end goal is to sell your company, or maybe your end goal is to make it public, go public. You want shareholders, right? You want people to be able to buy into your company, invest into your company. You want investors, you want angel investors. If that's your end goal, then an LLC isn't going to work for you. A C corporation is going to work for you, right? So one is first figuring out what is your goal now, but what is your end goal, right? Because your goal now is going to probably differ from your end goal. And so depending on that, because you don't want to start one and then switch, it just becomes complicated. So I would say if your end goal is to go public one day, start as a C corp. Don't try to start as an LLC and then convert. It's just trying to go back. It's just like going backwards. So figuring out what your goals are and then figuring out which entity best fits that goal. And like I said, for most business owners, it's an LLC. And then after you've kind of said, okay, this is the entity that I think is going to work for me. Now, what other things do I need in place? Then you're going to consider, now that you have a business entity, how is that business entity going to be taxed? Are you making money right from the beginning? Like maybe a restaurant, right? Maybe you form this LLC and you know right from the beginning you're going to be generating income. Then you need to decide if you're going to be taxed as an S corp or a C corp. Automatically by default, an LLC is taxed as a disregarded entity. So any money that your business makes as an LLC flows, it passes through you, that passes through the business, and it flows onto your personal tax return. Whereas if you are taxed as an S corp or C corp, it's a different tax process. So you first have to figure out how you're going to be taxed. And then what protections do you need in place now that your business has been formed, now that you know your tax status? What type of contracts do I need in place? Am I collaborating with people, right? Do I have proprietary and confidential information that I may need an NDA? Am I hiring an influencer to market my brand? Because you need an influencer agreement. Then you also need, what type of insurance do I need? Am I running a high-risk business? Am I selling candles? Am I selling things that go on people's bodies or within people's bodies? That makes you more high risk. So contracts, And then what type of intellectual property do I have that needs to be protected? Trademarks, copyrights, patents, maybe. So it's a really like an analysis kind of going step by step. And not all of this needs to be done at the same time, right? It's kind of like checked off box one. Okay, now I can move to box two. But the analysis starts with what is my goal? What type of business entity do I need to be? And then what protections do I need in place?
Nice. No, that's really helpful. And I think as you're speaking, you know, I'm just thinking about people who may be like, wow, like this is like a lot to get my head around. Where do I even start? Where do I begin? You know, they get into that analysis paralysis.
Right. So and like then if they never do it, right.
And then they never do it, or they start it, they don't finish it. Mm-hmm. To your point earlier about how a lot of us start businesses, but then it falls off. Mm-hmm. What resources do you recommend or do you have that can really help people just kind of get organized,
or baseline.
Or get a baseline, you know, so that they can just, you know, sequence and just start this process, you know, very sequentially and in order.
So I don't know how, if you're going to make my contact information available, but people can email me at info@marksetgolaw.com. And I have a free business checklist that people, I think it's like maybe 18 or 20 pages. And it kind of walks a new business owner kind of through the things they should be considering, and not maybe all of them are applicable to that business owner or that business type. But I think that would be a really great place to start, just to see like, okay, these are all the things that a business owner may need. And does this apply to me or does this apply to me? So they can email me. I'm more than happy to provide that free business checklist. But another great website that business owners can go to is the SBA. I think it's SBA.gov. Let me just make sure. Yep, SBA.gov. A really great resource, a government resource that new business owners can. You can find contract templates. You can find business plan templates. You can find funding opportunities. So just sign up with SBA.gov. They'll email you when they're having like business workshops. Like I said, they have like a resource library that new business owners can go to and download contract templates and stuff and customize them to their specific business scope. But SBA.gov is a really great place to start.
That's really helpful. Like SBA.gov, that's really helpful. Yes. And for your business checklist, we'll like link it in the show notes so that they have it as a resource. Good, you know, like that's really helpful because that's what I've seen, you know, like people want to start, be proactive. They get excited, like, especially during the new year, you're like, you know, I'm going to start all of this stuff. But then, you know, it really is overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know,
and like it can be a financial burden too, because you're just like, man, this costs forming the new LLC, getting trademark, all of that. That's a lot of money. So I can definitely see the hesitation, but you have to start somewhere.
Exactly. Just starting is half the battle, and starting by going to that website, SBA.gov, and using your business checklist, I think is a great point of starting.
Yes. Yeah. And lastly, I wanted to ask a question regarding like couples starting businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, you and your husband have a business as well. But what are some tips for couples who are starting a business together?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And sometimes, you know, people, this may be controversial, but I do recommend, even though like you're married, you guys trust each other and stuff like that, having some type of partnership agreement in place, right? Just so that there's a clear understanding that like, one, we are partners, right? We're in this 50-50. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's ours. And then two, laying out the job description for each couple. Like, what is your job description within this? What is your role, right? So my husband and I, he also is an employee of my law firm as well, right? So he knows what his role is within the law firm. He knows what his role is within the real estate brokerage. I know what my role is within the real estate brokerage. He knows what his role is within the real estate brokerage. So definitely having, because there was one point, so, you know, just being candid a little bit. So there was one point when I first started my law firm, and I expected certain things from him. I didn't express it like the correct way. And it was kind of like, he was kind of like, well, hold on. Like, I don't necessarily like work for you. Like we're a team, like, you know, and I don't think we made our job duties and our job responsibilities clear. We're just like, okay, let's do this thing together. And then like, I just assumed that he knew what he was supposed to do. And so my assumption led to, you know, disagreements. And so we're just like, okay, let's sit down and figure out what is it that this company needs from you in this respect? And what do we, and what does the real estate brokerage need for you in this respect? And so when we figured out what our job duties were, our responsibilities, we focused on that. And if I needed something from him, like he knew exactly what he needed to do. I knew exactly what I needed to do. So having job descriptions is so important. And that's something that can go in the partnership agreement as well. Like there is a page within the agreement, like an exhibit A at the bottom where you say, well, this is your job responsibilities and this is my job responsibilities. So that is definitely key. And having regular, so an LLC is not required to have like board meetings or minutes like a corporation is. So our real estate brokerage is an LLC, but the law firm is a corporation. But we treat the LLC like a corporation, meaning that we have annual meetings. We usually have quarterly, not annual. So we usually have quarterly meetings. And so if you guys are in partnership together, that's a great business write-off, because if you go out to dinner or if you even take a vacation and you make it primarily business activity, right? If you're like, okay, let's go to Florida and let's do a photo shoot. Let's, you know, shoot some content. Let's go out to dinner to discuss our agenda for this quarter. All of that, like you're discussing all of these things about your business and you're in business together. All of that you can write off from your taxes because you guys are in business together and you're discussing business primarily. So we like to turn our family vacations into our business deductions for both the law firm and the brokerage. And like if we're going to shoot content, all of that is ability to write it off because we're in business together. So that's a great, you know, thing to be in business with your partner because you have so many tax deductions.
You know, I think that was great advice, you know, that partnership agreement. And we can relate to that, like having early disagreements about roles, responsibilities. And I think, you know, just having that agreement and like getting on the same page, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about getting on the same page about money, get on the same page about your business.
right.
What you're doing is so important so that you can, you know, just help to mitigate some of those, you know, that conflict that might arise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not just about like, oh, what if we, it's not about like if this ends in divorce, like, cause that's not even an option for us.
Yeah, but
exactly. It's just, like, it's just about like, just so we know that we're clear. So it's not like just in case, like this doesn't work out. It's more of like, let's make sure that we're on the same page, like you said, and we agree about everything concerning our business.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for us, we were kind of focusing on like, what's your strength? What's Angie's strength? What's my strength? What's my weakness? What's her weakness? Yes. And making sure that in like the roles and responsibilities, because we did this as well, it covers like those things. And we're not saying, hey, like for me, I need you to be organized and concise with everything. Like I'm, that's not me. So it shouldn't be under my role and responsibilities.
Right.
Getting on the same page and understanding your partners, what they like to do and what they don't like to do, makes things a lot easier.
Because you don't want to make the business a burden, right? You don't want the partner to be like, oh my God, I got to do that. And I don't want it. It's kind of like the house stuff. Like my husband doesn't like washing the dishes. And so I'm going to wash the dishes. I don't mind it. So it's just like, figure out what your roles are. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be gender specific, but just like, what do you enjoy doing? My husband loves laundry. And I don't know.
Him too. He loves doing laundry,
and I'm like,
I don't know.
Speaking of
I'm
laundry,
not a folder.
I'm on my bed. No, I'm not a folder.
I'm a professional folder.
And I'll watch it. Yes, and I'll hang it. I don't mind hanging stuff. I hate folding. He loves folding,
and he folds like in the store, like the nice fold. Yes. I'm just like,
I don't know what it is. Like he's the same way.
Hey, I won't complain.
Exactly.
So blessing. Just figuring that out. So same thing as in your house, you have to, you know, bring over into your business. So.
That would be my advice
for couples. And then just kind of, I know that we're running out of time, but you know, if you have children, like the partners have children, you know, as they grow older, obviously like, you know, 3-year-old or 4-year-old can't really be much help to us now, but considering like, okay, we have kids now, he's 10, right? Or she's 10, like what can they do in our business too, to also build their own type of wealth. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's probably a topic for another day, but start thinking about things that they can do within the business to also take advantage of the tax code.
Love it. Yeah, that is an episode in itself, taking advantage of the tax code and using it to our benefit. But no, I love what you said, especially around couples and, you know, using, you know, those family vacations or date nights as, you know, business meetings, you know, and talking through your business as you're enjoying each other's company.
Right. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, you can still say like, oh, did you remember that thing at home? Just because you had one, you know, sentence about personal things doesn't automatically void it as a business dinner. I mean, you substantially made it about your business goals. So
yeah, love it.
Exactly. And make sure that before you take these business vacations that your business has some revenue.
Yes, for sure. Because people because a lot of another point is that deductions are great, but you also, and a lot of people say, oh, deduct this, deduct that. But then so the IRS only allows you to have a certain amount of losses within the total 5 years that you've been in business, right? So if you're having a loss every single year because you're deducting every single thing, they're going to now treat you as a hobby and no longer as a business. And you will get to a point where you're no longer able to write things off because it's not a business, it's a hobby. So be very careful about trying to get that tax liability to zero every single year and have losses every single year. Then the government is going to say, well, you're not in business to make money, because that's the definition of business. Are you working towards being profitable? Are you in business to make a profit? And if you have losses every year, you're not in business to make a profit. I mean, obviously, we're in COVID times and we're in a recession and inflation and all these things. So there are obviously exceptions to that rule. But like you said, make sure you're actually making money before you try to go on all these trips and buy all these things. And yeah, and speak to an accountant. Yeah, speak to an accountant about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Get an accountant.
I'm seeing things online. Like, people are like, oh, let me show you how I wrote off like my Louis Vuitton bag.
And I'm
like, okay. Yes. All right. But that's a conversation for another day.
Another day. Yes.
Yes.
This was great, Shanice. Thank you so much your expertise and just, you know, sharing all your knowledge. You have an amazing platform that's really educating a lot of people,
a lot of
business owners, new business owners like ourselves. So thank you.
Thank you guys. And we have to have your husband on to have a couple, money in marriage, business in marriage, like
children in marriage.
Yes.
Oh my God. That would be so awesome. We should definitely schedule that and talk about all things parenthood and business partners and children.
Exactly. That would be fun. Yeah. So for those that want to learn more about you and, you know, just get access to your resources, where can they find you?
Sure. Thank you. So one, they can find me on Instagram at the real spelled R-E-E-L lawyer. And then my website, marksetgolaw.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks so much for coming on. Thank you so much for dropping gems and knowledge. It was a blast. We really enjoyed this conversation. We look forward to having you and your husband on very soon.
Yay. Thank you guys.
You're welcome. Thank you for tuning into this episode. If you like what you heard, hit the subscribe button and leave a review. Follow us on Instagram @richbyintention for money tips and inspiration.